Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, providing exterior solutions for homes with faded, cracked, or outdated siding. Details at callmosby.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. During our college days at Missouri State University, Lindsay Goodhart felt something important missing, a connection to other queer people. That experience of isolation and frustration over the lack of safe spaces for LGBTQ plus people in that part of the Bible Belt spurred Goodhart, who is a St. Louis native, to take matters into her own hands. Here's an audio introduction to how she did that. That is the opening music for Closet Space, a live sapphic blind dating show Goodhart created as a fun way to make real-world connections both on stage and in the crowd. It's also garnered a huge following online. Closet Space currently has almost 30,000 followers on TikTok. Lindsay Goodhart is coming home to St. Louis this weekend for a Closet Space show Saturday night at Hummel's Pub in Carondelet. And she joins us now. Lindsay, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. How are you?
I'm very well. Great to have you. Now, moments ago, Lindsay, we played the music that opens every Closet Space show or episode. How does it reflect the feel that you and your team are going for with this show and how it's made?
I really like the more classic vibe of the music that you kind of get whenever you listen to. A lot of the art direction for this project came from more of those old school classic dating shows that you saw back in the 70s and 80s. And the coolest thing about that music is actually that it's made by one of my best friends, Kai Wheeler, who has been one of my closest queer friends that I've had in my life for, I would say, probably about 12 years now.
Oh, so going back to your time growing up here in St. Louis.
Yeah, she's so funny. They're actually like the first person I ever went on a date with. And now we're just like really close friends, and they're a very talented musician.
Okay.
And so many things with like this project have just kind of worked out full circle like that. It's been really cool.
Mm-hmm. So if I've got my calculations right, you are not old enough to be seeing those shows that you talked about even when you were growing up. What was your exposure to them? Were you seeking them out?
Yeah, I always loved reality TV when I was growing up. I actually started out like watching MTV as a kid. That was more my era. That with like Jerry Springer, I really liked as well. and then my parents were like, let's put you onto some more family-friendly content. And then Game Show Network was showing like the repeats of like The Dating Game, Love Connection. And yeah, I just really liked like that... that more community or like that aspect of like watching these people build connections through like their experiences on media.
Mm-hmm. And is that why there is a dating specific, you know, component to Closet Space?
I would say so. I would also say I like the dating game aspect. I feel like it really hits on the head the need for connection. Because I feel like, especially with like queer spaces, whenever you think about it, you kind of go into it seeking out like a romantic connection if you don't already have one. So I figured kind of putting that in like the limelight of it all would open up like all the other realms for connection along the way as well.
Can you provide a description, Lindsay, of the components of the show? So, you know, what is it that people will see if they're watching an episode of a live taping on YouTube?
Yeah, if you're watching one of our episodes that we have available on YouTube, every event that we have, we record three episodes, but we'll upload them one at a time. And so each episode, you'll kind of get to see a certain demographic from the queer community, whether it's masculine presenting women that are seeking out other masculine women, or transgender people that are seeking out a connection. Like, you're just really trying to see like all these different people that are in our community that are, just willing to go up on stage and pitch themselves and just really put themselves out there in a safe space. And we do also include clips of the audience as well from the event. We always try to scatter those in there just to show it, but that's more so just a separate thing on its own, I would say. Like, we love having the audience there, but the audience is there just to, like, really help enhance the night. And honestly, a lot of our contestants, if they don't make a match on the show, like, they will still walk away in the night with, like, a few phone numbers in their pocket from, like, the audience members that saw them on stage. And I think that there's a lot that you'll be able to see if you give our show a chance, either online or in person.
Mm-hmm. Was there anything about the reception that has surprised you?
I think I was very shocked at how big this all got very fast. My first show was in December in Springfield, and since then we've had over 2 million views on social media, about 30,000 followers on our social media platforms, and just seeing how fast, like, the support can go whenever you really put yourself out there, I think was very shocking to me.
Mm-hmm. And was there a certain point, you mentioned December, that was really not that long ago, but was there a really specific point at you when you realized, oh, this is really working?
I think seeing all the people that have come up to me after these shows that have mentioned the connections that they've made and everything that they've got from it, to have a project that starts as your own and watch it become something that, means so much to, like, a bunch of other people, I think that that's, like, it really shifted my motivation to hear, like, all the people that were walking away with, like, new friends, new relationships of, like, all kinds. And it really means a lot to know that, like, these people are fostering, like, these relationships in, like, an environment that I've been able to work to create with my friends.
Mm-hmm. Is this something that you would have appreciated when you were a student at Missouri State?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We had, like, a game show class, but definitely, like, I was always seeking out more diverse spaces, especially, like, being in the Bible Belt and whatnot. A lot of my classmates were, not providing, like, the kinds of, like, film sets that I kind of wanted to be on. It's been real special to take this idea and be able to run with it from scratch, all independently.
Mm-hmm. We're talking today with Lindsay Goodhart. She's the creator of the Sapphic Live blind dating show, Closet Space. It uses a live studio audience as a community event for queer individuals to build connections. The show is coming to St. Louis this Saturday night at Hummel's Pub in Carondelet. So is there a story or maybe a comment that you have read from people who are following this show that demonstrates that, you know, what you're doing is providing more than, you know, kicks and giggles, that it's something more than a dating game?
Absolutely. It's kind of difficult for me to pinpoint a specific comment, but I've had a lot of instances of being tagged, especially on social media, from individuals from countries where gay marriage is not legal. And they've, like, showed us them watching the content and them, like, reacting to the content and just seeing, like, the ability to provide a platform that provides that representation that people might not get in their hometowns or, like, just in their cultures in general. It might not be safe for them to, like, explore. That's really stuck out.
Mm-hmm. What has it meant to you to see this show have that kind of reach?
It's really hopeful, honestly, like, to have this idea that honestly was created and it's been self-funded from, like, a bunch of coins that I saved up for, like, the past 3 years. So to be able to, like, do all of this with, like, such little resources and learning how to, like, work with it, it's been really motivating and, like, showing that, like, you know, I don't have access to, like, a major studio. I don't know, like, everything that I'm doing right off the bat, but just, like, being able to figure it out, like, it's worth it to be scared for the sake of figuring out, like, what's on the other side of it.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like this is a very, you know, emotionally meaningful thing for you.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. This is, I love this show so much. It means so much, and I love everything it means for my community as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very excited to see how it will grow.
You know, something, Lindsay, I'd like to return to is this representation piece. Now, the show is described as sapphic, but it's really meant for people across the LGBTQ plus spectrum. Why is that the case, Lindsay?
Yeah, well, I feel like everybody, I really would like the opportunity to represent everybody with this show, but to have sapphic and queer women to be at the front of it, it's very important for me. I feel like a lot of these third spaces you will come across, they will be dominated by more of, like, that gay male kind of experience, especially in, like, gay bars and whatnot. And so I do want Closet Space to represent everybody, but I find it very important to have non-binary people, transgender people, and just those typical identities in the queer spectrum that you don't think about as much whenever you watch media and you see, like, I don't know, more typically in, like, when I watch dating shows and whatnot, I will only see, like, the more gay men side of it. I don't see a lot of, like, lesbian representation or transgender representation, so that's just really important to me. But yeah, we Closet Space, like, the whole concept is, like, there's space for you. So yeah,
what are some of the ways that you and your team at Closet Space have approached making the show, you know, reflective of those identities that you've talked about?
Well, we've made the show all from scratch, so all just from, like, if we don't have, like, the ability to figure it out ourselves, like, asking into our communities, and, I feel like that's also really resonant of what it's like to be queer. You kind of do have to, like, lean on one another. But, yeah, like, a lot of our set pieces and stuff, they're all secondhand, and it's all made from, like, making use of what resources we do have.
And how has that ended up helping you expand the reach? You know, I'm thinking specifically about these live shows. So the one that's happening on Saturday, it's the second time that you've been in St. Louis. Is that right?
Yeah, it'll be the second time this year we've been in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. How does having live shows and needing to build things and make things happen in different places, how does that help you continue to reach new people?
Well, it helps build a really good connection with the people that we are hosting the event for.
And the event that she is talking about, the one that is coming up shortly, is
it
the...
It helps us with... Oops, sorry.
Oh, sure. Go ahead. It helps you with...
Oh, it just kind of helps us with, like, our equipment and whatnot. Yeah, that's all I was going to say. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay. Are you bringing a lot of equipment and people with you each time you travel to a new place?
Yeah, we'll have to switch it around, but all of our set stays the same, and then we use a multi-cam setup, so we do have quite a bit of equipment that we travel with, I would say.
Does that training that you have received formally in video production, you know, to what extent does that help you do what you want to do, and what are you learning on the practical side as you've been doing this show?
Yeah, definitely having a degree in film has helped, and having friends that have degrees in film has helped even more as well, because whenever you go into film school, you kind of will pick a specialty and you'll stick with it, so you'll still have a general understanding of everything, which is very useful, but to actually be on the field and figuring this all out while like actually making a TV show, it's much different than doing like a class project and doing a film while you're under like the support of a professor. So figuring out like more of that producing aspect and business aspect, there's so much on that realm that I feel like I've been having to learn out more so than the equipment. But we have a really good team.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it seems like teamwork is definitely making the dream work in this case. Now, one of the things that you've mentioned that is specific to dating to our producer, Lila Halabajic, is that queer dating can often involve overlapping social circles and unexpected connections. How does that reality shape the show?
Yeah, I feel like it makes it more fun. Like, we'll have contestants that come on the show and, like, they will be exes and we just, like, won't know it until, like, they show up. Or, like, they'll have, like, just history with one another or, like, just overlapping, like, mutual exes, mutual friends. And it's funny, like, there was this one time we were doing a round with, like, boys. And they were all in the room trying to figure out who the main date was because it's spring. We were hosting the show in Springfield, which is a much smaller dating pool for gay men than in St. Louis. And they were all like betting money that they were able to guess who this main date was. So that was really funny to watch behind the scenes. But yeah, I feel like you just get different, much different reactions than you do with like straight dating and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. And for those who will be coming to the show, what is it that people can expect? How should they come to enjoy the program?
Yeah, I would say come as you are, come open-minded and ready to have a good night. We will be there at Hummel's Pub. The first episode will start taping at 7 p.m. We'll have the patio open around 6 p.m. There'll be a bar, we might have food, I believe. And yeah, I also have like some vendors that do sustainable fashion as well that will have some pieces for sale. And yeah, expect a night of community and just enjoying yourself. I hope that I'm able to create a space that the people in St. Louis are able to just come have fun and meet one another and revisit people that they love.
Lindsay Goodhart is the creator of the LGBTQ+ blind dating show, Closet Space, and a St. Louis native. Lindsay, thank you so much for talking with us today, and good luck Saturday.
Thank you so much for making time for me. I appreciate you very much.
Thank you. Closet Space is coming to Hummel's Pub in Carondelet this Saturday at 7 p.m. Tickets are available online for $10 at closetspacetv.com and $15 at the door.
This episode was produced by Lila Halabajic.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Doerr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.